from a west side girl to a south side girl to a north side girl to a east side girl. She's fierce, fierce, she's fierce, fierce, fierce.
You are now listening fierce to the Fierce Female Network.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening. Today it is February 15th, 6 p.m. on the Central Standard Time Zone, and it is 7 p.m. on the Eastern Standard Time Zone. And I want you guys to get pumped up, get pumped up, get pumped up, get pumped up. It's your girl, Prayers. And guess what? On today I have Olga Perry and Sheila Cullen. We are going to have a great, 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 great time. I am expecting these ladies in the house on today. And it's going to be all talk on today. We're going to have a little bit of music, of course. There is no show unless we got some music going on. All right, so let me introduce these guests for you on today. Miss Sheila Cullen. All right, she is an individual. She's a producer. Okay, and I'm really excited about her as well as Miss Olga Perry. And I'm telling you, we're going to have a fantastic time. We're going to blast it on today. We're going to have a little bit of music. We're going to speak with these producers and these artists, and we're going to get to know them a little bit better and a little bit deeper. We're going to have a blast. All right, I am going to say hello to one of my guests on today. Welcome to the Fierce Female Network. How are you on today?
I'm good. Very good.
Very good?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
It's my normal state.
That's your normal state? It's very good?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You're flowing in the same vein as I flow. It's always all good.
Yeah, there is no time to be sad. The time is ticking. And there is no time to be sad. We can be sad when we die.
And just so everyone knows whom I speak with, this is Miss Olga Perry, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Well, I do want to welcome you. I'm so glad to have you on today. It is indeed a pleasure. And I was viewing some of your work online, and it is fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Your artwork is fantastic.
Oh, good. Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome, and I do appreciate your taking the time out of your schedule to talk to myself and the listening audience. And so I really do appreciate your time on today, and I appreciate, of course, Jimmy Starr, and I appreciate Eileen Shapiro. As I always say, I thank them so very much for the connection that I have with them to bring all of you on the Fierce Female Network. I am truly honored and humbled. And I do want to get started and ask you, when did you discover your talent for painting and artwork and things like that?
You know, it didn't start from discover anything, my talents, really. See, we sometimes don't see the important things because we are programmed since early childhood, right? For instance, we grow up, and we hear about work, job, my father has an important job, my mom works, leave me alone, I'm working, and so on. And this part of life, like job, work, presented as an important part of our adult life. And a work activity for us kids connected to maturity, responsibility, and that's correct, right? We all grew up like this in any country. And with time, this work job related thoughts induce some unpleasant emotions like anxiety, worries. Who do I become? What do I learn to make my living? Sometimes we're proud of our job, but most of the time it's a burden and disappointment, right? And there is another part of our life which we totally ignore because nobody accents that for us when we grow up. Nobody prepared us for that. We don't plan it. We don't learn how to do that. And no one teaches us how to do that. And it's a big mistake because somebody who is lucky can discover it. And some people just skip their life and just work, 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 and retire and die. So that part of our life is our free time. In our words, you call it here leisure. And what we do in our free time defines level of our happiness, how much our life is fulfilled. So the answer on the questions, who I am, how is my life looking, and how do I live, it's depending on how do I use my free time, right? So because it defines us as a persona, as a personality, because it comes from who we are, and it's our ability to create our life with positive attitude versus our job-related activities, all this mostly stressful. Because job and work, it's something what we have to do most of our time. And sometimes we don't want to do that. But we do it because we have to pay our bills for our food, for a house, to support ourselves, loved ones, children, and so on. And we have our physiological needs. We have to eat, have clothes, and everything else. So the scheme is like this. I do that, this, because it allows me to do that. So it's a dependency. And antique philosophers, they called it artes serviris, which slave activities. We have to do that to achieve our goals. Doing that, we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to somebody else. So we are basically slaving. And direction and goal of that activity, going outward, outside us, to get something from surrounding us, reality. And there is an activity called artes liberalis, we do in our free time. That's what we're doing for us. And this activity is directed on itself, and it's valuable, and the value of that is self-worth. So when we start doing it for the first time, we become free people, and I discovered that when I was 46. So that becomes our test for our freedom, for fulfillment of our, and quality of our life, and we are self-sufficient in that. I just want to quote one philosopher who said, free time, leisure equal freedom and happiness. And see what we do. We work to be free. And we fight, we go on war to achieve peace. So in 46, I discovered if I want to be happy, I have to learn how to spend my free time. And luckily, I got in the art school just by accident, because I didn't see my life as a pleasure. They trained me in my country to survive. Life is a survival. And then I discovered I can live for myself. In modern life, we say I have successful life. Mostly it means what we have, money, career, and that's an energy sucker. And it's important, what is the goal of our education? Why we study this or that? Because there is art and skills, let's say, for sale, for money, and it denies us freedom right away. And our art activity, let's say, that's to enjoy and for self-realization. And it's endless, you know? When I got to that, I had a successful career here in the United States, and then I discovered art for myself, you know, painting, sculpting, then book writing, doing podcasts, and it was just like snowball, rolling, and I realized I do it for myself because it gave me pleasure, it gave me so much freedom because I do it for me. As soon as I will start selling it, it's become a job. So this is not something for sale. You just do it because you do it. And then your talent comes from that.
That is delicious.
And the talent is not something God gave you. It's a discipline, and it's how much time you put in any activity. Let's say we're born for like 7 years. We learn how to walk without falling left or right. we learn language for so many years. And when I when Artis Liberalis crossed my path, I was spending 12 hours a day just do what I want, what I like. And I was studying it and studying it. And great teachers came in my life and they taught me a lot, not just skills. It was liberating thing for my mind, not just skills. And it's very, I cherish it. I don't want to exchange it for money, and I do it for myself. And I asked Eileen, she said, I have a interview for you. I said, I have nothing to sell. I don't advertise anything. What I got? Sometimes people asking me, give me your website. Hello, I even don't remember. I even don't remember what it is because I don't care.
You know, I like your interpretation. I like your ideology when it comes to life, when it comes to freedom, when it comes to who we are as living human beings. And
right,
I love your philosophy, and I think that if more people had your understanding of life, I think that we as human beings could learn how to live together and coexist in a level and a state of homeostasisness that would help us to abide in love and strive with one another and help us to fight for humanity and what is all
right.
Supposed to be, regardless of the color of my skin, the color of my hair, the way my face looks. I think that if we all learn to understand what the vibe is and how to cleanse our energy and how to live in positivity, I think that we would only then be able to live and come alive. I think that we're not alive until we actually live for our brothers and sisters here within this universe. We're not really alive until we live for our brothers and sisters, until we can help our brothers, our neighbors, our sisters. That's only when we do, that's when we become alive. That is becoming alive. That is becoming free. When we learn to stand up for one another, that's when we really learn to strive. Until then,
because when you do that stuff, you don't care about color skin. You're not competing to anybody. You're not in competition. You don't care. You just want to totally put your mind, you totally want to be deep in this state and you don't care about anything. But as soon as you go outward, that's a competition for resources, for money, then war, hate, and everything else. That's why they call it liberated art. It's not like your art when you're serving machine and happy in that thing, you know?
So I do want to talk a little bit about some of your pieces. I've looked at, you have a piece of art entitled Cassandra, which is really beautiful, which is just really amazing. The color that you use in your oil paintings, and they just come alive. And if it's okay with you, I would love to post some of your work on my page on Facebook to just show some of the individuals that come across the page the beauty of your work.
Could you please remind me how it looks? Because I painted so many pieces and then they're done. I don't remember I painted it. What is it on the painting?
This
what
is Cassandra. It's entitled Cassandra.
Oh my God. I don't remember. Can you discuss? Is it on my Facebook page?
This one, I found it at Fine Art America.
Fine Art America.
Yes, it is a piece titled Cassandra, and she has light blue silhouette on her hair.
Let me see. I'm so sorry about that. Because
okay.
That website, it's so low, Cassandra created so long time ago, because when internet appeared, I created about 200 galleries online.
Wow, 200? Wow.
And I don't even remember. And in every country who will take me. Oh, yeah, I see that. Yeah, that's a blue veil. Okay, this one is, I will tell you. 14 years ago in my life, I got a great teacher of my life. I was in art school for so many years before, and I want to paint. And every time I was showing the sample how I want to paint, everybody was saying, oh, no, nobody paints like this anymore. We don't. It's too long. We don't do it like this. Do you want to be like abstract artist or something, or impressionist? I said, no, I don't want it to. And then I realized nobody knows the technique. And it's very close to the old masters. It's not like Rembrandt. It's more color in it, but... And then Synchronicity worked, and the guy walked in my life, and he was my neighbor. He lived in Pacific Grove in Monterey Bay. And he saw some of my art and asked my friend to introduce him to me, and he walked in, and I was in a bad mood because I knew what I wanted, and I didn't know how to achieve it. And he looked at my work, and he said, you know what, you're in a loop because you need new skills. And he invited me to his studio, and when I looked on his paintings, I said, oh, my God, will you teach me? And he said, yes. I wasn't with him personally for many years, 6 months every day, when 6 months break, 6 months every day, and we were friends until he died 2 years ago. And he invented me. He gave me so much. We talked about art, old school. He had all the books. He was explaining me because I had so much fantasy. I was painting from my head, and it was never looked as I want. And he explained me. There is architecture, even in a fabric. I was always trying to paint fabric from my head. And this piece is exactly, it's a real fabric on a light, which I just studied the holds. And this is my mannequin. I bought my mannequin to dress. I was dressing it in different silk, like blue silk, pink silk, gray silk, and I painted hundreds of those paintings from a mannequin, learning flesh colors and fabric. Because since I was a child, I want to paint fabric, hands, and faces. That's it. I understand this, there is no meaning, but I'll tell you one thing which I learned when I was studying art. I realized the things I paint, just some studies of something, everybody sees it different. They create their own story. And then with time, I learned how to put little hooks here, because this is my very early, it's 2007. I even don't know where it's painting. Since that, I was painting like deliberately some paintings. When person come to that painting, they can go away. Because I had a great sculpting teacher, and I put his sculpting secrets to my painting. I learned skills, but my first teacher, great teacher, he was a sculptor. And you cannot leave his sculpture. It was wall sculptures, right? It was bust relief. I said, what do you do? Tell me what you do. He said, Olga, you have to put some keys, like a web, and circle it in circles. So you manipulate attention of the viewer, and you give him little hints, this and that, and he will make the meaning of your painting. That's what I learned. And now I learned it so well, to the point it's become boring. I was taking it on different people. I was bringing them to my paintings undefined. Just a figure of some person, whatever, and a lot of people which are not pronounced. And I say, I ask them, what do you see? What do you see? Look. Oh, I don't understand art. Just look. What do you see? And everybody was seeing it different. Everybody was creating their own story. So good. It was like a game. And I was enjoying that game for so many years. But then my teacher died. I kind of stopped painting because, you know, he created me. Somehow in his head, he knew what I want. He knew what I want. He picked up his surface for me. He told me what surface to prepare, what colors to take. He created my palette. He created my medium. He created everything. And he couldn't understand how I compose it, but he created my technique. I realized it only after he died. I realized he made me who I am because somehow he was old. He was like 89. He didn't paint anymore, could see well. Somehow he saw in my head what I want. And he gave me myself in a way. And when he died, I was so upset. I stopped painting. I said, I have no one talk about it, so why would I, you know, because if you do it on your own, you have a roof. You have a roof. And when you have ongoing teacher, even one hint per year can change your art. One hint.
Yeah.
One word. Even you think, oh God, I achieved everything. I'm a master. When your teacher comes and says, Olga, look here, blah, blah. And you're like, wow. And it ignites you. You become productive. You do a lot of stuff. It gives you inspiration just to learn the secret. You know, not to paint a masterpiece because that's totally irrelevant. He taught me when to stop. He taught me how to finish because I had a problem. I could never see because when you paint from your head, you don't know when to stop. When you're painting tomatoes and cucumbers, you know when to stop, when they look like cucumbers and tomatoes in a way. And then it's not necessary at all. But when you paint from your head, you know you have to stop someday. And he taught me how to do that. So there is some paintings in my life which I painted for 15 years, not every day straight. And then I realized Mona Lisa, because they said Leonardo da Vinci was painting it for 20 years. Of course, not every day. Sometimes I even don't remember the painting. I go through my stuff and I discover it. I look at it. Wow, I know how to finish it. And last couple of years, I was repainting my 2007, 2005 paintings when I couldn't paint at all, but I had so many thoughts and compositions. Like I was taking new canvas every day because my head was blowing with ideas. It was good time. It was so good time. But nothing is forever. Now I'm enjoying different things. Yeah. I learned how to do it. I learned how to enjoy, to be creative with no goal, you know, because art is the goal itself. It's not like a goal to paint it, sell it, and get a candy. We can spend our free time differently, like gliding on the surface of our existence, like main goal to escape boredom, you know, popcorn movies, soap operas, work for money, then waste its money to buy poison alcohol, drink it up, and have a good time. I don't see it this way. Even though in my before I was, I came here, before that happened, I learned I have to work hard and then buy something more and more and more and more and more and more. That was defining my life. Consuming, you know? And it has no root. Has no root. It's like drug addiction, another way.
Miss Olga, we do have to take a break. We're going to take a short break. And I do have another guest that's coming up, Miss Sheila. But I want you to hold on. We have a little bit of music. This song, we're taking a little bit of a break. We're going to play a little bit of music right now. This song is called Miss Lillian. And I'm going to come back and talk a little bit more with Miss Olga Perry. And then we're going to talk a little bit with Sheila Collin. One moment. So I want you guys to listen to Miss Lillian.
She said she never wears underwear. I said I never wear shorts. She said she don't believe in life after death. I said we're all just a riding course. She said let's just try to run away. I said no, let's go for a walk. She said I've never been.
You can see it, Olga Perry Art.
Oakville Perry Art. Okay. I do want to ask you, now, when did you first, I know it's been many years ago and you've been painting for a long time. I do understand that. But I want to ask you, when did you first, your first art class, when did you take your first art class?
I was 46. It was 20 years ago.
I thought that's what you said. I thought that's what you said,
yeah.
46.
Yeah. 2001, I think, I took my first drawing class. And when I did, I went crazy. In 4 years, I quit my corporate job. And I said, that's it, I'm a sculptor. I've had such a great position, everything is paid, 5 weeks vacation, great insurance, everything. And I gave them 2 weeks notice. And they said, where do you go? Do you go to our competitor? I said, no, I'm a sculptor. But what helped me, I was selling my sculpture like a hotcakes. So in the beginning, that was kind of very funny because I'm programmer and I'm a doctor, medical doctor, and I'm chemical engineer, and I have a lot of different diplomas. So when internet popped out, I was working in a telecommunication. I created like 200 galleries all over the world. And I was selling my sculptures.
That is fascinating. You quit your job and you just took a class and you started painting and doing your sculpture. That is fascinating.
Yeah.
That has to be the most freeing thing anyone can do.
Yeah. And I was already done with my chores. My daughter grew up. I already went through all possible careers. And By 49, I quit my job, and I just started doing arts, whatever. I moved out in a big shore, in the ocean, in a small cabin, and that's it. If I have food or I don't have, that was it. I sold everything. I had a bike, paint, and that's it. Because I achieved a lot in my previous life. I was kind of happy because I was making money, but money doesn't make you happy. Even like what you buy for money does make you happy for long. But when I start doing art from 46 to 49, and 49 I realized I wasted all my life to work for bread and butter. And I didn't die, you know. I didn't die, and I learned a lot. I was studying movie production. I'm making movies for my husband's band. That's good. I like it. I like it because the movies, I do the same way I paint. It's totally abstract. It has some dark humor, and I just enjoy that part, doing animation and some hidden meaning here and there. It's just a game. You create a game, 5 minute game on the music, what my husband writes, and on lyrics, what he creates. And I love his music, and I like he doesn't tell me what to do. He gives me total freedom. That's only why I do it, because I went to school for 4 years to learn movie editing, audio, and all this stuff, a lot of programs. And then people start offering me big money, good money, to create like 3-4 minutes little clip. And then for that money, they were eating my brain. You have to do this. You have to do that. You have to put that, 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 that. Excuse me, if you know what you want, do it yourself. I do it how I see it, or I don't do it. I don't care about your money. I just want to do it because I want to do it. That's what's the point of whole conversation. Because I use it in any activities I do, only that. Because I find out my goal. I find out what makes me happy. And it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter. Painting, drawing, sculpture, movie directing, whatever. It's all the same. And I wrote the book. I'm going to publish it next month. And it was the same. So that's what it is.
You're publishing a book. Tell me a little bit about the book that you're publishing.
I'm a medical doctor, and I have a podcast in Russian over 6 years about psychedelic plants from a medical view. Because I'm a doctor, I tried a lot of different psychedelics, plant psychedelics, and it's cleared up my body, it cleared up my brain, and I created a podcast, and some mushroom crossed my path. It's legal, totally legal. I'm picking up it in Pacific Coast in certain times from October to February. And I tried it on myself. I worked on it 4 years. When I research it, I read all the literatures, I all pharmacology, everything about that mushroom. I tried it. It worked for me. And I lined up in Russian-speaking territories 3,000 people who was taking this in microdoses. And I got a great statistic, great result. I created 2007 questions. It was like questionnaire on all kinds of different diseases. And 3,000 people were working with me. And it was 2 years research. And that's the book about that, about my research, how I come up, how I design it, how it worked, and how did I do it, and that's the result. Just the result of my research on that mushroom. It's going to pop, I think, next month or a couple months. I already published it last summer in Russia. I had 40,000 downloads in 2 days, and over 100 first month, and when I stopped counting it, it was electronic version, and I sold the printed version for 3 months, 2,000. But it was just the first annual review. So now I'm writing, I wrote like a monograph, everything what history of humanity knows about that mushroom, because it's like first very ancient psychedelic mushroom, Amanita muscaria, you know. We have paintings of it 50 million years ago in Aboriginal caves. And I studied everything what possible on all languages I could put my hands on. And I find out it has a lot to do with our existence, because that mushroom has the main neurotransmitters of our central nervous system. It's just total analog of excitement or break, or a gamma aminobutyric acid or glutamate. And this mushroom contains total analogs of that. Plus acetylcholine neurotransmitter. I studied it, went through, and I know why it works. It's not like placebo or something people invented, and it's documented from day one, publicly documented. And about 70,000 people watched it, what I did, because I did it public. I didn't hide anything. It was all online. It was great. It was a good time. And that's the result, what I did.
And you said 40,000 downloads in 2 days?
Yeah, that was electronic version. Yep.
That is a lot of downloads in 2 days.
I know.
48 hours.
I know.
48 hours.
Because I have 70,000 followers. I have 70,000 followers on my podcast. And I was talking about this mushroom all the time, what I achieved, what I got. This is what letters I got. I was publishing those letters. I was doing this stuff to the point online, free, not for money, free. And I got 40,000 downloads in 2 days. And then I published that book because people start asking me to print it in a paper for older generation in Russian-speaking territories, people who can open PDF, you know, cannot just. So I did. I did that 2,000 only, and I sold them in three months.
Did you say on your pop cart?
On my podcast. I have a podcast, Psychedelic Plants Podcast. and I'm talking about medicinal effects of psychedelic plants. And
okay.
this mushroom is legal, and it's a psychedelic. It's Amanita muscaria species.
Oh.
Yeah.
That
so that's what book about that stuff going to be. And I tried it, all my friends, all my relatives and everybody. And it's like a miracle to me. Being a doctor, it's a miracle to me because it takes alcohol addiction in 84% regardless. And from that 84%, 36 quit alcohol. And I have group of severe alcoholics because, you know, my country is drowning in alcohol. It's induced on people since childhood. I wrote in one of my books what I don't know anybody Russian who never tried alcohol. Probably in a whole 140 million people, we have not even one person who never tried it. And it's very bad stuff. It's like it's a rocket fuel. It's extremely poison. Doesn't matter if it's diluted and in a wine form and red with, mixed with sugar. It's still rocket fuel. And I will send you one copy when it's done if you want to read it.
Okay. I find that fascinating. You call it rocket fuel. I never heard it described that way.
Yeah, I usually put the F word in front because the statistics in my country where I'm from, if you read the statistics from 2001 to 2014, 54% of male population in Russia died with alcohol-related male population in Russia, you know? Just nobody want to talk about it. Because alcohol, when you take it, it affects everything. It affects you. It affects you right away. And the more you're drinking, like when people saying, "I'm not addicted to alcohol. I'm drinking wine." You know what? If you have it in your cupboard, you're addicted. Because if you're not addicted to poison, you don't have it in your house. But if you do, and again, we were, my dogs are misbehaving. Hey, stop it. Stop. Uh-huh. Three dogs. Stop. And what I was talking about, I forgot. If you please remind me what we were talking about.
The alcohol in your home. You know, if you're addicted
yeah.
to alcohol, you wouldn't have poison in your
yeah.
home.
Yeah, in Russia, you grow up. And you see your parents drink a little bit here and there, your sisters, your brothers, your uncles, everybody drinking. We have holidays. We celebrate it with rocket fuel. We are brainwashed to have happiness with a rocket fuel, not by itself, let's say creating us, but drink alcohol. That's what makes us happy. In Russia. And in Russia, it's so cheap and so bad. Not everybody holds. And because I work in the medical field for a long time, when person alcoholic dies, they don't put a reason of death, alcohol. They said it's cirrhosis of liver or stroke or cardiac arrest. Or high blood pressure, or this and that. And they don't say this is alcohol poison. You don't see the diagnosis, fatal anatomy diagnosis. Death, the reason of death is alcohol. Nobody does it in the world at all. But nobody connected it to alcohol because, oh, I got sick. It's like normal. Oh, I got sick. Why? Because you were drinking for 10 years like a fish. It's all complicated, and that's why I left medical field, because I don't want to be a drug pusher, what pharmas tell me to do, you know?
Yes.
You cannot, let's say patients patient come to your office and he'll say, oh, I have that and that and this and that, I would tell, you know, dude, stop, quit your stressful job, stop smoking, stop drinking, start doing a lot of physical activities, make yourself happy by doing something what you like, and then all your diseases, if it's not too late, they will reverse. No, I have to prescribe him some stuff. The stuff which has a side effect and it affects his mind and body. Let's say antidepressants. That's what we prescribe to people to be happy. You know? And it's, I don't want to do it anymore.
Yes.
That's it.
You know what? It takes a lot of courage to do that. It takes courage. Not everyone has the courage to stop doing something like that and really just go full throttle into life with something that makes you come alive. And, you know, because society says that we have to be one way to be successful, but in reality and in actuality, we don't. It's about what
right.
we have on the inside that makes us happy, that we should go
right.
full throttle. And it takes courage. It takes a lot of courage to do that, to step away or step aside from the thing that you did for years, and then to go head on full throttle like you did with art and publishing and the music with your husband and movies. So that does take courage.
I got lucky because my life gave me the big I was studying chemical engineering, and almost when I was done, when I was almost done with my education, it was last year, the communists didn't like me, and they kicked me out of school and communist party, and just for being different. So I have to go to psych ward when they will put me on drugs and make me crazy, and I escaped. I escaped the country. I moved to a different country. I was 19. And that time we didn't have any internet. They cannot trace me. So I escaped. And then in that country, I studied medicine. I was in school for 12 years. I got my PhD degree. I was thinking medicine will make me happy, but it didn't. It didn't, because when you go to a hospital where people die, and it really does make you happy. You're making a lot of money, but you're seeing people die every day. That's very not good.
Mm-hmm.
And I quit that. I quit that part. And then I moved out to different country here. I moved here. And I start from scratch, from zero. I learned programming. I learned business administration. I work for telecommunication company, and then I discovered art. So for me to quit something is not really too hard. I quit like this, too, because I don't make any plans in my life. Something happened. My life could overturn in a day, and I'm not scared of it because I did it so many times. And it's like a life reincarnation. You're like respectful doctor walking in a white robe, blah, 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 boom. Next day, you're in America, homeless. Oy. So that's funny. It's I like my life. I like what I do. And I don't make plans because I know something's going to happen by itself. I just have to see the opportunity.
Yes.
And drop everything and go there. And if I like it, just do it. Until you just say, okay, that's enough. I will do something else. And that something new else will pop up. When you have the opening, the windows of your soul is open, something going to come. There's no other way. But if you study, let's say, medicine, and you just work, and then you find yourself dead in a white robe, and you don't see the opportunity because you're scared to do anything. It's not scary to change. The worst what could happen, we die, and we know that. So Nothing else is too scary, right?
That's right. You know, and you've given us a lot of information. You've given us a lot to really to think about. And so I think, yes, really, honestly, I think you've given us all a lot to think about, listening to you speak from the soul, from your heart, from your spirit. You've given us a lot to take in. You've given us a lot to meditate on, if you will. And I believe in the power of meditation. I believe in the power of stillness. And
right.
Anyone, all of those who are listening, if you have not ever practiced the power of stillness,
mm-hmm.
you need to try
it. It's like John Lilly said in his book, Center of Cyclone. If you center it in quiet in the middle of a cyclone, nothing matters. But as soon as you put your head in a cyclone, then the trouble comes. So the stillness of a center of a cyclone, that's what our goal is. You're right.
Wow.
Stillness.
Well, you know, this has really been a very great in-depth conversation, and I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the conversation, and you really have given me a lot to think about, a lot to meditate on, and I took it all in. So this was a different episode because it gave me an opportunity to sit at the feet of a great woman and to listen and to be taught. And so we can all learn something each and every day if we're open to receive and open to learn from those around us. And so it was very good. So your words
were very cleansing.
Your words have a cleansing effect. Those that's willing to open their ears to hear, I think that they can experience cleansing. And, of course, this episode is going to be on my Facebook page later today, and I would invite everyone to take a second listen and to get a cleanse, to get a cleansing, because this episode was really a flower. It's almost like a flower that's opening up for the first time and scratching toward the sun. When we scratch toward the sun, we're scratching toward something because we're scratching, we're learning, we're scratching ourselves, we're scratching our spirit, we're scratching our energy. I didn't know it was going to go that way, but that's what today was with Dr. Olga Perry. You scratched us in a new direction that we need to be scratched in, especially this time that everything is going on with the pandemic and the world that we're living in. We needed this from Dr. Olga Perry. We needed it. It was so very timely, Dr. Perry, and I really appreciate everything that you said. When we can just sit and be still and quiet and listen to the words of a great woman that was on this show today, and that's Dr. Olga Perry, a great woman indeed, a woman of knowledge. And so as you heard her speak, this woman has knowledge. She educated us. She taught us some valuable lessons. She gave us some tools to move forward. And so she wasn't just talking about something she didn't know. She's talked about something that she's walked in, lived in, experienced, and she gave it to us on today. She gave us something very valuable that money cannot buy. You're very welcome. And Dr. Perry, I just wish you well, even going forward and doing lectures about peace or lectures about freedom or lectures about energy, whatever the universe brings you to lecture on, I just pray that you would move forward and just do it and just teach a multitude of people how to move forward in freedom. Because without it, we're not really alive. And we need individuals like you to show us the way, you know. So you're a teacher. You're a great teacher. You're a great educator, an educator in life to teach all of us how to walk a better walk in this universe. And so I really appreciate you. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome.
You're a great speaker yourself.
Thank you.
You're great.
And so I just would love to just keep communicating with you on social media and to still sit at the feet of your wisdom wherever you post, maybe it's Facebook or Instagram. Wherever you leave your wisdom, I want to be right there to soak it up. I'm like a sponge, and I love being like a sponge because I love to soak up educational and inspirational value from others. And you are a person that's a woman of value. A woman of value. And we can't find that. That's hard to find. Because you spoke from your core. You spoke from a place of integrity. You spoke from a place of honesty and ethics. And you were so authentic with us. You just brought us you. And you just filled us up on today. You filled us up with just clear, cleansing water.
That starts from honesty to yourself. Everything starts when you become honest to yourself, to your own existence. Because when we start sailing our soul, then troubles come right away. Everything goes to different direction. It's hard to be honest with yourself, but it's possible.
Yes.
And it's
yes.
Different
I
time.
I agree. So I do appreciate your time, and I thank you. We are out of time, and I want everyone, when you have an opportunity, to go to the Facebook page, the Fierce Female Network on Facebook, and take another listen to this episode and listen to the words intensely of Dr. Olga Perry, this wonderful woman of wisdom, this wonderful woman of grace, wonderful woman of grace and knowledge. And so I just want to thank her once again. And we have to turn to the intro, the Fierce Female Network, and thank you all for listening. Thank you for stopping by. Thank you for tuning in. Those that was in the chat for however long you were in the chat, I want to thank you for even coming by and to take a listen. I want to thank those internationally as well, all those that listen abroad. And so I appreciate everyone that listens from all the other countries that listen in. And so, Dr. Ogle, you have a very pleasant night on tonight. You got it.
You motivated. You motivated. You winning, winning. You know they hate it.
She's
hold up.
Fierce. Fierce. She's fierce. 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 She's